I missed a couple of flights on planes through either overbooking or whatever. They paid me recently $50 for missing a flight. Another time they gave me a dinner ticket and a first class seat on the next flight. I waited hours for a bus with a lot of people, especially blacks. No apologies. Because the poor people ride buses. The rich people fly planes. Humility of spirit. Trust in God's providence. Oh, how you have to trust if you don't have. And here, I really believe the future of religious life is in the balance. In the 21st century, people are going to talk about the community that used to exist in the 20th century. Not a few will disappear. Our institute has signed a contract with the Society of St. Paul in Rome for translation rights of their what will be an 8-volume encyclopedia on religious institutes in the Catholic Church. 20 years in the making. They are about to the letter R or S. They're not finished with the alphabet. They're going from A to Z. The editor, with whom I had a conversation in Rome a year ago when I was there on business, including this, he said, one of our problems, we never thought this. One of our problems is that by the time we get to the next letter in the alphabet, once flourishing community lower down in the alphabet has disappeared. And unless we look to our poverty, and I say this without being prophetic, I'm no Ezekiel, unless we look to our poverty, our institutes are going to disappear. That is the verdict of history. Most religious communities in the church's history have disappeared. Do you hear that? Have disappeared. All we have is a record of their past. Okay? Poverty. And that's why Francis was so concerned, because he saw then so many religious institutes in the monastic tradition with a large, by modern measurement, square miles of holding. And abbots, who were often bishops and prince bishops, civil rulers. It was not coincidental that the one who split the church in half, Martin Luther, was a monk, because the Augustinians in his day were not practicing poverty. No wonder before Luther's death, every room in his monastery in Wittenberg was occupied by former Augustinians living with their wives. No wonder. And this is the period in history we're going through now. Exactly the same. We must look to our poverty, otherwise the judgment of God stands as it has stood in the past, and will not allow religious, unless they witness to poverty, to survive. They have lost their purpose of existence, which is to witness first to the poor Christ. Trusting in God's providence and not in everything and everyone but. Let me make a blasphemous substitute. Not a few communities are trusting not in God's providence, but in the federal government. Morally. This, of course, has many to do with our behavior as human beings. What then is the purpose, as Francis envisioned it, and the Church has been eloquent for 7 centuries in telling us, if you want to know as religious how to practice poverty, go to Francis. Whether you're Franciscans or not makes no difference. First, mastery of one's desires. We need hardly tell ourselves that we desire what we know we can get. All right? Provided a person is still rational. Now, we may, for example, vaguely, not even a desire, just a stupid thought, desire, say, to, you never guess what I'm going to say next, to go to the opera. For 5 years I've been in New York City, the opera capital of the world, I've been told. By now, my brethren know that I've never been to an opera in my life. They think I'm uncultured, uneducated. I just haven't grown up. You must go to an opera. So, one day about a month ago, well, I didn't go to the opera, let me anticipate. But a priest who has been especially hard on me, how uncultured I must be. We went just to visit the opera house. I give him the satisfaction that I went near the place. The box seats are $37.50. The lowest price ticket, I think, is $12. And the box tickets this spring will be $60. Women, speaking mainly to women in the audience, you go window shopping, and as I watch some of the women walking along Fifth Avenue, just lost in admiration at gowns. They don't even have a price tag on them. Beauty start around $300. Well, those are hardly desires. Because what? In order to make a desire rational, you must have the means of fulfilling it. See what I'm driving at? And consequently, to master desires, if you don't have the money, well, the desires kind of take care of themselves. And it's not only bodily desires, but spiritual too. I mean, for example, the academic, the cultural, the traveling. To travel costs money. How many of you have been to Lourdes? Well, I never have. And I've had opportunities several times as a religious. But I did not think it was consistent with my poverty to just visit there out of devotion. That's strange. Second, self-conquest, and we're back at the same term, through humiliation. It's remarkable what self-conquest you will achieve if you've been sufficiently humiliated. you reach a point where, frankly, almost nothing else counts. What else, you might say, can they do to me? In fact, there are humiliations that are worse than physical death. And finally, and most importantly, by our poverty we merit grace. Because to practice poverty faithfully, we must call on a lot of grace from God. And every grace cooperated with is a source of merit. Then, the apostolic purpose. This has to do with one's neighbor. First, and this is Francis. Reread him. He doesn't say much, but what he says is profound. People who are poor in material possessions and show that they are poor witness to what? To possessing in things of the Spirit. Especially, and how important this is, if your poverty is a matter of choice, and especially if you are happy in being poor, and people don't think that although you are poor, you might say canonically, you envy what other people have, or you're sorry what you lack. You must be poor but enjoy your poverty. And people, many of whom find about the only satisfaction in life they get is from the material things they possess and enjoy. And to find persons, hopefully, like ourselves, who are poor but happy, they will say to themselves, there's either something wrong or there's something right. Now what's wrong is, she's not normal. She's queer. She's an oddball. Or the lingo now goes, she's a psycho. For many people, it's considered psychotic. But if they see that we are normal intellectually, have a normal IQ, are poor and enjoy it, it bothers them. They get worried. We witness to things that are more important than what money can buy. Second, through poverty, and this is Francis, he couldn't have so diversified and universalized his apostolate. Before he died, he had his men all over Europe. All over Europe. You know why? Very simple. He just told them to go. No provisions, no money, no food, just go. And to change the face of Europe. In other words, we make ourselves available to anyone and everyone if we do not bind ourselves to earthly possessions. Take a thing like this. St. Bernard, who preceded Francis by about a century, in one of his sermons that I like to quote, he said, anyone who demands money for the service he renders his neighbor is committing the crime of simony. There are many people have many needs. If the condition of my meeting those needs is they're paying me for my service, do I cut down and limit my apostolic opportunity? We sure do. I'm not judging, I'm stating a fact. Loyola School in New York, where I live, there are three schools on the premises. Loyola School, which is co-ed, Regis High School, which is for boys, and a grammar school for children up to the 8th grade. Loyola School's tuition, it's a day school, is $2,200 a year. That's a high school. And that's no food, no lunch, no fees, no books, just for the privilege of going to that school. That's a lot of money. New York City, no one knows the exact figures. It is upwards of 1.5 million children of school age that are getting no religious instruction whatsoever. Now, the national figure is over 6 million. I will give you the Word of God if you pay me. Okay? Am I clear? And Francis Albert was going on. Two weeks ago, I was in Cleveland giving some lectures. I had breakfast with the father of one of the sisters, a man who admitted that he had pretty much given up the practice of his faith. Do you know why? As a young boy, his mother, who had always supported the church faithfully, father had died earlier, had only $3 in her pocket. She wanted a mass said for her husband on the anniversary of his death. She went to the pastor. He told her, "The price is $10, not $3. The boy never forgot that. And later in life, he gave up everything. The service of more and more varied persons. Believe me, I know what I am saying. Every one of our institutes must make a deep re-examination of conscience. Third, the merit of grace for others. It is not only, as we earlier said, that grace is merited for ourselves, it is also merited for those we serve by the fact that we serve because we want to please the Master and not because we're working to gain money. And finally, freedom from secular constraints. The limitations that the state, for example, places, the demands the state makes for every dollar, let me change it, every dime, let me change it, every penny you receive, you pay through the nose. You pay through the nose. Or better, you pay with the blood of your veins. It is now 5 years that I've known Mother Teresa, and she comes up almost every time we teach. She has by now deeply influenced my life. All I know is, she says, Father, you just tell the religious you speak to that they are becoming more and more victims of those on whose financial support they depend. Tell them there's a lot of good they can do for souls, maybe not the way they used to do it, maybe not with the same kind of physical comfort they used to, maybe not with as much psychological satisfaction as they used to, but to do it with the means at their disposal and not to allow themselves to be beholden to anyone. About 2 years ago, I was in conversation with her in the Bronx, excused herself for about a 10-minute conversation, came back smiling. No, she said, I just turned down $700,000. A person knew that I was in the United States, was offering me this amount of money, but I asked, are there any conditions attached to that money? Well, of course. And we will explain how we want this money used in a letter that will accompany the check. She said, no, thanks. I don't want the check. So much then for an analysis of St. Francis' poverty.
For the third and last part of Father John Hardin's lecture on St. Francis of Assisi and the Witness to Evangelical Poverty, go on to the next tape.